You know, there are many of those, especially those who are Christians, who might say, well, why do we need a church? Why do we need this organization? Why do we need this structure? Why do we need priests and bishops and deacons and religious and all these things that go along with having a church? And this isn't just people who are non-Catholic. I've heard Catholics say that. Well, I don't know why we really need the Catholic Church. You know, we question this because we think that our relationship with Jesus is a me and Jesus. It's as long as my relationship with our Lord is good, we're set. You know, or some might say, well, we've got an understanding. I've heard people say that. I always love that one because it usually, those understandings sounds exactly like what they want those understandings to say. I've never heard someone say, we have an understanding, me and Jesus. I need to go to confession more. I've never heard someone say that. I'm waiting for that one. We might say, okay, well, we need a church, but you know, I'm going to let my feelings guide me of how far I'm going to follow this church. Yes, we need kind of the human organization because after all, we need kind of this organization to come together and to learn and to go out and to, you know, to support others and to feed the poor and so on. We need this human organization to do that. But you know, when it comes to what this organization is teaching, I'm going to go by what I feel. I'm going to go by what my emotions tell me, what I think, what I desire, what I want. And if I don't like what that organization is saying, well, I just won't follow it. I'll go elsewhere. I'll still come to church, but I won't follow those teachings. Well, the answer why we need a church, we can look at St. Paul in our second reading today. And he explains very clearly why we need a church. To help us understand and follow God's ways. St. Paul says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How inscrutable are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. The fact is, God is so incredibly beyond us because, of course, he is infinite. He created us. We are his creation. That we cannot truly understand God's ways. And we do not truly understand God's ways. None of us do. None of us understand God in his fullness. It doesn't matter how long we've been Catholic. Whether we are a newborn that was just baptized, we've been Catholic for 20 years, 40 years, 60 years, 80 years, 100 years. We can't understand God's ways completely. No matter how much schooling we've gone through, how many years of Catholic school and Catholic university and Catholic postgrad, we can't understand God's ways completely. No matter what programs and classes and training we've gone through from the diocese and universities and so on, we can't understand God's ways. I've been a Catholic for 41 years. I went to 8 years of seminary. I've been a priest now 9 years. I've barely scratched the surface of what there is to know about God's ways because all of us have only just scratched the surface of knowing God's ways. That's why we have a church to show us God's ways. When I went to that conference, was a little over a month ago with Dr. Scott Hahn. He explained it, that people think that theology, we've got it 98% figured out, and there's only 2% left. And he says that's backwards. We've only got about 2% figured out, and there's still 98% left. And that's after 2,000 years of the Catholic Church and much longer of the Israelite and Jewish faith. We've barely scratched the surface. And yet we have the church that helps us after this 2,000 years of church studying and reflection and prayer and passing on the teachings to guide us. We can be more sure about what the church teaches because of its 2,000 years of experience than our limited experience in our lifetime. We can also be sure because of today's gospel. We can also be sure of the church, not just because of longevity, how long the church has existed, but because we know that Jesus established it. And we see the establishment of the church, or at least the head of the church, in today's gospel. We see Peter, Simon, that apostle who kept putting his foot in his mouth about every chance he could. being named the head of the church, the rock on which the church would be built. Yes, Jesus meant to establish the Catholic Church, and he meant to give us a pope and the apostles, the bishops, to lead and guide us. To follow Christ is to belong to his church. And he gave this church great authority. He didn't just say, okay, go out and be church and, you know, gather together once in a while and go out and feed the poor. He gave the church a great authority. He gave the church the keys to the kingdom of heaven. As he tells Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That sounds familiar. We just heard that authority to bind and loose, to have the keys to the kingdom. In the first reading, Eliakim was given the keys to the kingdom of Israel. That when he locked the gates, literally the keys to the gate, when he locked that gate, no one was to open it. When he unlocked it, no one else was to lock it up. It was his authority to protect the palace with the key, to protect it by locking and unlocking the gate. The church, which is built on St. Peter, has authority even over the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. So we need to take what the church teaches seriously, because if the church declares it and they bind it, it's bound in heaven. It's no longer our opinion that matters. It's God's opinion. And he's given the church the authority to make those rules. Well, this is important when we consider especially our relationship to God. Our relationship to how we approach him in this life. The church, because it has the authority to bind and loose, it guides us in how we are to worship God. That is one of the roles of the church, is to guide us in coming to our Lord and worshiping him. And we know that what we do here at Mass is the way that Jesus wants to be worshiped, because I, as priest, and every priest and bishop will use his own words, do this in remembrance of me. That comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 19, if you want to go look it up. Jesus says, this is how you are to worship me. And that's what we do at Mass. We worship Christ by how he wishes to be worshiped. And we know that because we have the church which binds and looses. The church has the authority to tell us this. Now, when we talk about do this in remembrance of me, this is not just a, oh yes, I remember that Jesus came. I remember that he gave us the Last Supper. No, this is entering into. This is a remembrance, as in being a part of this actual event. When we come to Mass, we are at Calvary. We are there at the foot of the cross with everybody who has ever and will ever attend Mass. This isn't just some communal gathering. We are there for the sacrifice of the cross when we come to Mass. And that's why it's so important we're here. Because there's nowhere else in the world other than the Divine Liturgy that you will be at the Calvary. You will be at the foot of the cross. This is why it's so funny to me when I hear someone say, well, I can find Jesus out in the field. I can find Jesus out in the lake. I can find Jesus when I'm out hunting. I can find Jesus when I'm out here, when I'm out there, when I'm over here, when I'm over there. We can pray. We should pray when we're out there. But you know, when we're out there, we will not be remembering him as he requested. We will not be worshiping him as he wants to be worshiped. And most importantly, we will not be receiving him body, blood, soul, and divinity. We truly receive Jesus here. It's so important we come to Mass for that reason alone, to receive our Lord in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Now, I've had people say, you know, my husband doesn't come to Mass because Father so-and-so said he doesn't have to because he's out doing this, he's out doing that, he's over here, he's over there. I hate to break it to you. If, assuming Father so-and-so did, which there's no reason to assume he didn't, he gave bad advice. He was wrong. Yes, I'm calling another priest wrong. One challenge I will put before each and every one of you, if you disagree with anything a priest says, and that includes me, go look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Go look at the Baltimore Catechism, if you'd rather look at that one. And if I say something from up here, and you find it different in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, bring it to my attention. My job is not to teach my opinion. My job is not to preach what I want or what you want to hear. My job is to preach the gospel. Every priest's job is to preach the gospel. So challenge us. Challenge us. Go look at the catechism. Compare with what we say. The only reason why we should miss Mass is illness or some other incapacity. Some other reason why we are physically unable to attend Mass. That's the only reason why we should miss Mass. Missing Mass because we want to do something else or because we think we need to do something else is not an excuse. It is absolutely not an excuse. If you think you might have a necessary reason, come talk to me. I, as a pastor, can grant a dispensation. If you know next weekend you're going to be out somewhere where getting to Mass would be an extreme difficulty, come talk to me. Give me a call. Send me an email. I can grant a dispensation. I can give you permission. But you got to talk to me. Don't assume it. Because missing Mass is a grave matter. It's a grave sin. Very serious. I mean, it is a very serious thing. Now, you probably remember from catechism class, religious education from the school, there are three conditions to mortal sin. It has to be grave matter. You have to know it's grave matter, and you have to choose willingly to do it. Well, you now know it's grave matter to miss Mass. And the reason why it is grave matter to miss Mass is because it is a violation of one of God's commandments. It is a direct violation of the third commandment of the Ten Commandments. Keep the Lord's Day holy. As Catholics, we keep the Lord's Day holy by coming to Mass, by coming and worshiping God as He desires to be worshiped. And it's grave matter whether we agree with it being grave matter or not, whether we want it to be grave matter or not. And the reason why this is so serious to miss Mass is because mortal sins cut us off from God. We say to God, I would rather go my way than your way. I would rather follow my path than your path. I'm being strong about this because this is a very serious problem. And too many of us, including those of us who come to Mass more Sundays than not, we've forgotten how serious missing Mass is. We think it's something we can do if it fits in our schedule, and it should be the other way around. Our schedule should fit around Mass. Now, when we talk about why we should have the church, why we should come to Mass, why we should do all this, there's an ultimate purpose to all this. The church exists for one primary reason. Everything else she does flows out from this, and that is to get us to heaven. To get us to salvation. Again, we think we know God's ways, but we really don't. We need this guidance of the church to lead us to heaven. So if we wish to enter the kingdom of heaven, it's very simple. Listen to the church. Follow her teachings, her path, her way. Worship God as He wishes to be worshipped. Because ultimately, the role of the church is show us the way to God, to show us the path to heaven.